Thanks, Todd, for coming on the show this morning. Really appreciate it. I appreciate getting up this early out in Vancouver time.
Thanks for having me.
Todd, why don't we start off? Just tell our listeners and our viewers a bit about yourself and your company.
Okay, fair enough. So I'm 53 years old. I started line painting when I was 18, working for a very small mom and pop organization out in the Okanagan, small area of BC. And I very quickly got promoted to a painter rather than a laborer. It turns out I was just a natural. I could paint like you can't believe. And so I took over and eventually hired my girlfriend, or common-law spouse at the time, to come and be my laborer. And after maybe one year, 2 years, I guess, me and my girlfriend were speaking and were talking about the owners of the company and how much money they're making. And I mean, we're just kids at this point, right? 20 years old. So I went back and I renegotiated, like we were getting paid a wage. And I said, no, we want, I want 20% of the contract and my girlfriend 10%. So now we're taking down 30%. And still they're making more money than us. So what the hell is going on? So then the dream was there to start our own business. Years gone by, I didn't start my actual business till I was 27. So I bounced around a little, learning the industry. And by that, I mean quite widely. I was in Toronto with a really large company, same with Victoria, and one other smaller company here. And I learned lots. And then it was time to start the business. Most people will say the company name, Black and White Line Painting, black and white, it must be the colors that they do for painting. Nothing could be further from the truth. Black is the lady who's no longer with us. That's her last name. And my last name is Whitehurst. So we shortened it just for the white, and that's where Black and White came from. By this time, I was just getting married. And or maybe we were married. Anyhow, my current wife, now ex, but anyhow, she allowed me, I guess, for lack of a better term, to honor Heather by using her last name and the dream, you know, and whatever. And so we went in a little bit blind. I don't have any post-secondary schooling, so I got no business qualifications, I would say. So I was winging it. I happen to be one of those guys that's, I call myself more street smart than I am book smart. And I think that's what it takes to be an entrepreneur. I mean, book smart is great. There's lots of careers out there that are fantastic, but I learned early on I can't work for somebody else. I need to work for me. And so we just went and bought a machine, one machine. And we had a minivan, boy on the way. And so we would take out the back seat and roll in this one little machine. I would make stencils of, say, a handicap picture out of cardboard or plywood. And we'd go paint these little churches. This is in 2001. And we started doing very small jobs, $150, $300, whatever. I had a full-time job at the time. So the first year, we grossed like 15 grand. Hmm. But probably 10 went in our pockets because it was just me and her, or me and my wife, or my brother-in-law, or my father-in-law. You know, it's not staff time yet. Full-time job during the week, and then this on weekends. But we were pretty happy about the 15 grand. And so the next year, we did $90,000. And third year, we're on the fence whether or not we should go for it kind of thing. And by that, I mean quit our jobs and go all in. And I was reluctant, actually, and she convinced me to do it. And in that year, we did $250,000. Wow. I happen to have a gift for the gab. I'm a pretty good salesman. And I think it's 7 years, and I was the second biggest company in Vancouver.
Jeez. So just insane. Todd, was it mostly referrals, like during that growth phase? Or, like, you know, you did one, you did a good job. They told somebody, or did you go out and really kind of hustle the business?
That's what it was then. It's a very different animal today. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was cold calls and mail outs, if you can believe it or not. We mailed something to pretty much every church and every golf club. That was a good one. And we had an in with the Catholic Church. My in-laws are extremely Catholic. One of the uncles was a bishop, for crying out loud. So we got
Wow.
every Catholic church, and a couple of things aligned nicely. I gotta be honest, there was some pretty darn good luck happened for us. Like, it's like the stars just aligned. Anything I touched turned to gold. And the year after the quarter million, we were just under four, and we made it to a million, oh, a million plus. But on average, we were doing 700,000-800,000 in line painting per
Wow.
year.
Wow.
And the margins are great. Like, you can make a ton of money doing this business. And even just two people, like a mom and pop type thing, husband and wife, maybe they get one labor or whatever, buy a couple machines, pound the pavement for sales, and you can make a decent living. I'm not okay with a decent living. I want a good living. And so we went hard. We ended up with like 20 to 30 employees in a huge warehouse with our own salt shed and bobcats and seven different trucks with plows and whatever. And we actually, again, with touch gold, we had our biggest snowstorm in 51 years, I think it was, in 2007, 8, and 8, and 9. And those were the seasons I started the snow clearing. I had the line painting business, and now we're looking for something to do in the winter. And a friend of mine was landscape company. He's been in snow forever, so he sold me one of his older vehicles, and set me up on knowledge of how the business works. Now, you being from out east, I know you get snow all the time, and I imagine to be a snow plow guy or operator, or even the owners of the companies, it's peanuts because you're guaranteed snow, right? So guys are working in Ontario for 40, 50 bucks an hour pushing a plow, whereas us, we get between $400 and $600 for one visit, and we're there for less than 20 minutes. So in a night, one truck will bill out 24 hours because they get their minimum charge, right? That's just absurd. We're like 175 an hour. Of course, it never freaking snows. This year we got no snow,
Right.
like zero. But there's also salting. So as long as it freezes, the ground is wet, we can get out there and salt, which we did maybe 15, 20 times, which is kind of good enough money to carry us through to the painting season. But then when you get those years, you can do some crazy stuff. And that happened right at a great turning point, and we did lots of different things with money. And so that was fantastic.
Todd, this is an interesting point. If we can just pause here for a second. So, when there's snow, obviously there's more revenue coming in. There's more expenses to go along with those revenue, more employees, more operations expenses around your trucks and gear, et cetera. But I'm curious, how do you, without getting into personal details here, but I'm trying to understand, you got some years cash flow is high, some years it's not so high. So what advice would you give to someone that's listening that may be in that same type of work where, you don't know what you're going to get in the winter, or you don't know what you're going to get in the summer. Is there a system or something that you've developed that has allowed you to kind of smooth out those highs and lows over the years?
It's really one simple thing with these two businesses. What my like my painting business, I'm gonna do a half a million or three quarters of a million in lines every year without picking up the phone.
Okay.
So I'm still trying to grow. You have to save. You can't spend when you go on a whole bunch of money in the bank. All your receivables come in, and they come in kind of. Major things kind of happen towards the end of our season. So all these big clients, we're painting a new layout, new parking lot for a brand new hospital in Vancouver. It's going to be the biggest hospital, whatever. It's the biggest contract ever around. It's actually six figures, which is unheard of for line painting. So you gotta know your nut, right? What is your monthly expenses if you didn't work? So all your salaries, which we have four of us on salary, myself, my wife, and two of my kids are actually foremen for the company. So those four salaries have to be maintained, and all of our other overheads and whatnot. So we just take, honestly, we take 50% of every check that comes in, and we put it in a savings account.
Smart.
And maybe we get to go on a trip to Mexico in March or in October, whatever, depending on how it's good. You know what I'm saying, right? That's not just Mexico, but a trip or do something nice. But you got to plan for no snow. right? My business has to cover me and my family 12 months of the year as though there is no snow clearing business. And when that happens, then you have a party, right? But it's
Yeah.
been years. Like it's been years since we've seen any real snowfall.
Yes.
But the beauty of it is, you get one snowfall that lasts for 2 days, and you bill out a 25 grand or whatever. It's crazy. And the margin on that snow is nuts. Like it puts line painting to shame, which
Wow.
does quite
Wow.
well. So that's the key. You got to have your nut that's going to take you around to your painting season starting again, where you know you're then going to dig a big hole, right? I was talking with staff yesterday, my team yesterday, about paint. And since April 1st, we've bought 58 pails of paint. And put that in perspective, each pail of paint is, a couple $1,000 worth of work on the ground.
Wow.
So we're having our strongest start to a season right now, and so that's exciting. But anyhow, like you said, you're digging a big hole. I paid payroll yesterday, it was 12,000. At the end of the month, it's going to be 20.
Right.
You have to really squash money away. You can't spend it having fun at the end of a painting season.
Right.
If you're lucky, you can have fun at the end of a snow season.
There's a great book, Todd. I don't know if you've read it or not. It's called Profit First. And that's really what the whole premise of the book is. Hey, listen, money's coming in. Excuse me. Make sure you pay yourselves a decent salary and make sure you're putting aside a certain amount of money for a rainy day. And because there's going to be a rainy day. And every business owner has experienced that. So before we jump into the kind of part two of this, Todd, you mentioned, your son and your daughter or daughter-in-law?
Stepdaughter.
Oh, stepdaughter. Okay. So basically, it's a family business.
Very much.
What is that like?
It's great and it's painful at the same
Right.
time. I used to talk a lot about the fact that I have to wear two hats, right? One is the dad and the other one is, of course, the boss. And last couple of years, I've realized that it's actually more difficult for them to wear two hats than it is
Oh,
for me.
interesting.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I always thought it was me, right? Like I have to adjust and deal with my daughter and my son on a business level without hurting their feelings and getting mad at dad. Right. And I actually think I'm pretty good at it. I stay strict. When it's work, it's work. But it's them who have the harder time. Right. And any of my daughters, and they look me in the eye, they know they own me. Right. So, but besides that, everything else is fantastic because three of us live together, and our daughter lives down the street, not 5 minutes, so she's here all the time. And we get other things done just by chance of talking in the house, and all of a sudden we'll be talking about a job that's a week away and think of something that needs to be planned to go with it or whatever. So in that way, it's fantastic. There's the amount of communication, and sure, there's a big sense of pride
Sure.
having. I'll tell anybody that wants to listen about my daughter and my son, because they haven't been doing it too many years, and they're really freaking good. So,
Nice. And
yeah.
I guess, Todd, long term, you've got a built-in succession plan here, right? That if someday you want to retire, maybe the kids take over the business, but that's kind of nice to have that dynamic.
That is for sure the plan. Whether they buy the company off me or just keep paying me and my wife a salary and they just own it, one of those two things is the plan. Absolutely. So.
Really smart. I find too many business owners that I work with, they don't have a plan. And then all of a sudden they're 63, 64, 65, and they want to retire, and there's no infrastructure to, so it's not a saleable business. They don't have a young staff person to take it over, and then they're just kind of, they're kind of panicking. So for all our listeners, good advice, even if it's years away, you always run your business as if someday you're gonna sell it or turn it over to somebody. Todd, what advice would you give to somebody that's listening that currently owns a business but may be struggling? You mentioned you had a down year. I've had down years. Everyone that owns a business have had down years. So what advice would you give to someone that's going through a tough time right now?
It's really just about staying the course, and depending on exactly what kind of downward problem you're having, whether it's losing clients or some sort of recession or whatever, which my business is kind of recession proof. You got to stay the course and believe in yourself. You either have it or you don't, I think. And I think that anybody trying to do these types of things, starting their own business, is going to know very, very quickly whether they're cut out for it or not. So if you know you are, stay the course. Don't spend any money. You'll get there.
And Todd, that's good advice, because a common theme on this podcast is from my guests is listen, not everyone's cut out to be an entrepreneur. How did you know that early on in your journey that you were just meant for this?
It's got to be the main point was the gift for the gab, and I did a bunch of sales jobs and stuff when I was younger, in between working for different line painting companies, and I made a freaking killing, like just a ridiculous amount of money. There's really nothing I can't sell, and so I kind of, and I don't know, I had a positive attitude for sure, and it just I. How to explain knowing how did I know I could do this? I really didn't.
Okay.
I guess the
Yeah.
reality is, but I
Yeah.
thought so. I thought so. And I proved it really fast. I
Yeah.
remember my father-in-law kind of laughing at me, right? And this is when, we got married after a year, so I don't even know them very well. But
Yes.
he's driving me to the paint store in his pickup truck with his daughter's credit card. And I'm maxing it out on a machine. I'm buying a painting machine. He thinks I'm nuts. 3 or 4 years later, he gets up at a big family dinner, and he got a couple of priests and a nun and whatever there. And he gets up and he says, "I want to talk about my son-in-law, whatever." And he goes over the whole story and admits how
Yeah.
upset he was back then. And he's a pilot, and his wife is a nurse. So they do quite well. And he said, Todd's made me look bad. He's making twice what I make in only 3, 4 years. That was cool,
I bet
right?
that was cool, for sure.
Yeah. So.
For sure. So what advice would you give to someone that's listening that has this idea for a business? Maybe let's just assume they're working full time. You mentioned you were doing it, you kind of did it part-time initially. Is that the advice you'd give that person, or would you prefer they jump both feet in?
I guess that's going to depend on what industry.
Okay.
In some ways, anyhow, for me, it's a contracting business. So you can kind of, like I told you in the beginning, we work 24/7. So it's easy to plan on weekends and also it depends on your current life circumstances. Are you married with children, or are you single? If you're single, maybe you jump in head first, all in. Right, you're still living with your parents, and you're only 22 or whatever, and you've got that kind of support. On the other hand, if you are responsible to other human beings, be it a wife or kids, etc., tread lightly. You know what I mean? It's go slow and learn as much as you can. And now in today's day and age, with the technical side of, like when I started this, in 2000, right? Not much going on as far as technology is concerned in comparison to today, right? But now you've got so many bloody videos you can watch, and there's so much that you can learn. And I would say that's the biggest thing is, if you don't have an industry background, you need to get out there and learn. I told you early on that this is my second go around with the business. We went bankrupt in 2014. So what I'm doing differently now is, like, I've got all the knowledge, which I learned just by doing. And so now, a second time around running the business, I'm being more profitable. I'm obviously so much more knowledgeable and will be so much more successful. So, it really depends on what is going on in your life, I think. I wouldn't do what I did. Like, I wouldn't recommend doing what I did. Unless you're really freaking good. Like I said, lots of things, stars aligned for me, and everything I touched just worked. And so there's definitely some luck. It's not that I'm not a genius, I'm not a dummy either, but I got a little bit lucky. But my wife at the time was an MOA, so she was making a decent buck, and the job that I was doing didn't pay the best, but it gave me opportunities. I was a courier driver for a company that only delivers to construction sites.
Oh, perfect for what you ended up doing.
Well, I got to go in. I got to go in the
Right.
site office. I got to say who's who. Where do I find so and so from mechanical company or whatever? I got his wire. And meantime, I'm in the office where the site super is. Hey, who's painting your lines? I look at the drawings. Some drawings I'd be able to look at it 2 seconds or 2 minutes and figure out a price. And I'm given the price, and I've almost got the job before I even leave there. So that's how the construction industry started for us. We have it's kind of there's two different things. One is repainting existing parking lots, and the other is layout and construction of new parking lots, which not as many companies can do. We're number one kind of thing, I guess, when it comes to construction in the Lower Mainland. And half the companies around competition wise can't even do layout. They call me when they get that kind of jobs.
Todd, do you find, you touched on learning and ways you can learn now with all the technology that's available to everyone. Are you still learning at this stage
Oh,
in your career?
I am, but
Okay.
mostly a technical perspective. Like all my guys are using apps and whatnot, and some of it is things that we've developed. So we got a SharePoint through Microsoft, and we upload a bunch of documents for inventory and all those sorts of things. And then there's the SEO management. So that's kind of a different level. My daughter actually handles the website and all of our social media. She makes fantastic videos and posts them all the time. That's where we get all our new business. Well, 90% anyway. And I'm trying to get more familiar with AI. I'm a little behind, but I know there's companies that are basically running their damn office through AI, And it's crazy to not continue the path. I don't think there's any time we're going to stop learning. I don't know, 10 years into the business, and we hired this guy, Paul, great person. And he comes up to me, and we put tape on the ground when we say we're going to paint an arrow or repaint an arrow. Not You're not going to have a stencil that's going to match every arrow out there. So you just tape them off and then spray them by hand. And we always been doing it. It's always been a bitch to get the paint, or sorry, the tape back off of the ground, especially depending surface, if it's membrane or concrete, asphalt, et cetera. And Paul comes up and says, "Why don't you guys just fold the edge?" I was like, "I'm the dumbest person alive. You know how many times I've picked up tape with a freaking key or something?" And the guy who, he's the sweetheart of a man, but yeah, he kind of, like, I felt like an idiot,
Goes to show you can learn from anyone, right?
That, and that's, I push that, like, and tell my staff, "You got an idea, let me hear it. Odds are, odds are pretty high that I've already tried that and it's failed or whatever, but not guaranteed." Like, that tape thing is a massive, massive game changer, right? Well, a guy can peel tape like nobody's business rather than just sitting there picking at it. You can't leave tape behind. Now people are going to drive on it, and it's going to be bedded into the asphalt, and it's never coming out. So, yeah.
Hey, listen, Todd, believe it or not, we're out of time, but before we let you go, first off, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. Where can our listeners and viewers find out more about your company?
At blackandwhitelinepainting.ca. That's the full name with the word "and," blackandwhitelinepainting.ca.
And which areas of the country do you service? Are you strictly in the city that you're in, or do you go outside of that area?
No, we go outside the area sometimes. Short trips, like the island is only an hour and a half ferry. We actually got a job over in Gibson's at the end of the month, and we'll go all the way up to Whistler, Pemberton, and all the way out past Hope. So not just the Lower Mainland, but the Fraser Valley and a little beyond, depending on what the work is and what the opportunity is. There's nothing I won't look at. I'll look at any job. You're from Prince George. Okay, let's have a look, right? If you're willing to pay the travel, absolutely, we're in. So.
Thanks again, Todd, for doing this. Really appreciate your time today.
I greatly appreciate being on the show and the opportunity. So
thanks.
Thank you.